Our epistle lesson is Acts 2, 42 to 47. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, we hear this. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So isn't there something fascinating about the origin stories of heroes? It's so neat to learn about the early lives of saints like Mother Teresa or biblical ancestors like Moses. We make movies like this about superhero origins, like the early life of Bruce Wayne or Luke Skywalker. We also love these origin stories of our own relatives, right? I mean, how many of you are on Ancestry.com? That's fascinating, isn't it? I remember the joy of sitting with my grandmother, listening to her tell about her early life with my grandpa. Knowing where we've come from is important, and that's what we have in our reading from the book of Acts today. We have an origin story of the church. In Acts 2, we see the Holy Spirit coming upon the early believers, giving them the power to share the good news at Pentecost. And once the church was born, they gathered together all the time for four main activities: study of the apostles' teachings, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. That's the origin of the church, that power of the Holy Spirit, and these four activities, these actions that changed not only their lives, but the lives of all the people around them. The early church was a bit like a home Bible study. These people were together a lot. They were putting the love of God in action. Those early believers shared their possessions, they provided for anyone in need, and the world around them saw them acting boldly and courageously in faith. And all of it was powered by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that Jesus promised after his resurrection and before his ascension. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And that's exactly what happens. When we read the book of Acts, we find these amazing and inspiring stories of the early church, stories of courage and faith, of spreading the gospel, of healing, teaching, preaching. We see the church growing beyond just those first Jewish Christians to include the Gentiles and people from every nation. We see women in leadership. We see those considered outsiders welcomed into the community. We're studying some of these amazing stories in our Wednesday night Bible study as we study the first half of the book of Acts. And hopefully you can join us for that great time of learning, study, and fellowship. The goal of the early church was simple. It was to create disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, people whose lives were transformed by the good news of the gospel. Friends, that is still the goal of the church today. That's what we're called to be: disciples, lifelong disciples, followers of Jesus, people whose lives are literally changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Discipleship is not about just coming to church on Sundays. It's not about just believing the right things about God. It's about following Jesus Christ, what he did, what he said, following in his footsteps all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Discipleship is about being changed by putting our faith in action. Remember when we talked 2 weeks ago about do love? We don't just learn as disciples, we do it. That means we change what we do with our time, our talent, our money. And Jesus said that being a disciple like that, it's a lot like being salt and light. In this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, we learn that we are called to do much more than just have a personal faith in God that gets us to heaven. Jesus calls us to a whole new way of life. We're called to flavor the world like salt and shine God's light in the world as disciples of Jesus. So I wonder, what does that mean to you? To be salt of the earth or light of the world? And how can we do that? In our homes, our schools, our offices, our community? And isn't that especially important in this world where our actions are always captured on camera and our opinions broadcasted on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and beyond? Are we living as salt and light? Salt has been used for thousands of years. In Jesus' day, it was incredibly important for many reasons. It added flavor to food, but it was also the primary way to preserve food from spoiling. Salt was also used as a way to preserve a contract with someone. Sometimes a covenant was sealed with salt, some from each house. They would throw it across one another's shoulders to seal the contract. We see this in Numbers 18 and 1 Chronicles 13. To use salt was to preserve life in Jesus' day. New babies were washed in salt water. Wounds were treated with salt. Salt was used as currency. It was even used to pay laborers. The word salary comes from this idea of paying someone with salt. Even today, we hear things like, he's worth his salt, or she's the salt of the earth. If Jesus says we are to be the salt of the earth, how and where are you salt? How are we as disciples preserving life, covenanting with one another, and sharing the goodness of God? Sometimes preserving life and sharing the goodness of God is a very simple act. There was a neat story in Christian Century magazine a few years ago about three housemates who bought a couch at the Salvation Army for $20, and when they brought it home, they started discovering wads of $100 bills stuffed inside. The total was over $40,000. They sat around and dreamed of ways to spend the money, but then they found a name on an envelope, which led them to the prior owner, a widow who lived in a tough neighborhood, and it turned out that her late husband had been putting money in the couch for his wife to use when he was no longer around. You know, salt is also a strong chemical compound. It doesn't just go bad or break down, so why would Jesus mention losing its saltiness? He says, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. Well, maybe it's the fact that salt can be diluted. That's one way salt can lose its saltiness. In Jesus' day, if a seller of salt wanted to cheat someone, they could dilute the salt with white sand, making it useless. I wonder what keeps us from being salt of the earth in the world all around us. What dilutes your faith? Is it busyness? Having too many things going on? I think that's one way we get diluted. I think we all have to watch out for that. We can become so busy and so focused on ourselves that we fail to be salt in the world. We can also get diluted by our tendency to want comfort, complacency, and conformity. We want to go along and get along. We don't want to rock the boat around us. And we'd rather just hear about faith on Sundays than live it out on Mondays. But that makes our salt pretty useless. Our faith is designed to transform us and put us in action. But it's a real human tendency to just soak up information and leave it at that. But doing that has perpetuated all kinds of evil in the world. Racism, sexism, classism, the marginalization of people. We have to learn and then do what is right. We are called to be bold and courageous, just like the early church in Acts. If worship or study or fellowship doesn't actually change what we say and do, we're not following in Jesus' footsteps. And if we're only watching faith on a screen or from the pews, we are not being salt or light. Even if we can't be here in person, we still are called to live out our faith. I think of one of our members who watches worship faithfully because she can't be here in person, but that's not all she does. She is a prayer warrior, faithfully praying in community each week and daily reaching out to members in need via phone, cards, email, and text. She's living out her faith. Are we? Are we doing love and putting our faith in action? And what is our faith doing in the lives of people around us? Are we seeking that power of the Holy Spirit, that power of the early church, and using it to make a difference in the world? Jesus says we are the salt of the earth and light of the world. And here's the thing about salt and light. They are good elements, but salt can sting as it works, and light can expose darkness and evil. Salt and light are not always welcome, but they are always needed. This is another reason we need the example of the early church in Acts. They spent so much time together. Are we? Jesus knows we need the encouragement and accountability of one another. Christianity is not a spectator sport or an isolated faith like some faiths. You really cannot be a Christian all alone. It's done in community, a community of faithful action, including prayer. Those earliest believers were all together praying when the Spirit came. How often are we all together praying? How often are we doing all that the early church did, studying, breaking bread, sharing fellowship, praying? This is what it means to be salt and light. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a basket, but on a lampstand to give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." How are we courageously letting our light shine so that others see it and give glory to God? Are we loving our neighbors? Are we treating people with respect? Are we doing a good job at whatever we've been asked to do? Isn't that something we really need in this world? Doesn't it seem like we're surrounded with the exact opposite? We turn on the TV every day to violence. We listen every day to people's rudeness, disrespect, lack of integrity. What if being the light of the world is acting the way Christ would have us act? And sometimes our actions speak louder than words. Once someone asked the late Presbyterian preacher and writer of the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, what he would say if it were his last sermon. He said, "I think I would want to talk about things that are immediate and ordinary. In the kind of world we live in, the primary way I can get people to be aware of God is to say, 'Who are you going to have breakfast with tomorrow? And how are you going to treat that person?' In my last sermon, I guess I'd want to say, 'Go home and be good to your spouse. Treat your children with respect. Do a good job at work.'" That's so simple and powerful. Some of Mother Teresa's wise words sound very similar. She said, "It's not the magnitude of our actions, but the amount of love that is put into them that matters." She said, "If we want a love message to be heard, it has got to be sent out. To keep a lamp burning, we have to keep putting oil on it." What if being salt and light is simple? What if it all comes back to the greatest commandment, to loving God and neighbor? Not just knowing it, not just thinking about it, but doing it. Sometimes that's with our actions, and sometimes it is with our words. We do need the courage to speak about our faith, about what God has done in our lives, about how God has helped us, sustained us, guided us. When are we doing that? At the end of his life, Jesus told his followers in Matthew 28:20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." How are we making disciples here at FPC Mattawan? How are we encouraging one another to be salt and light and holding each other accountable to that? How are we following the early church in study, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer? And did you catch his final words? Jesus said, "I am with you always." This is not just us doing what's right. It's Jesus in us. It's his power. It's his Holy Spirit acting through us. You know, when you think about it, salt and light are really used to enhance something else. As lifelong disciples, we're here to draw attention to Jesus, not ourselves. We want people to see what we do and give praise to God, not us. Salt preserves, light illuminates. We are salt and light for the sake of others. We are salt so that others will know God's love. We are light so that others can see God at work. It's not about us. It's all about God. Pastor Chris Thomas of Jacksonville, Alabama said, "We as followers of Jesus fulfill our roles as disciples when we flavor the earth and illuminate the world with our actions and words that point to Christ." Friends, if we are living just for ourselves, we are like salt that lost its saltiness or light that is under a basket. Lifelong discipleship is our calling to be the salt and light of the world. So hear the good news of the gospel. We are following in the footsteps of the earliest church as salt and light. God has given us the power to be the salt and light, pointing back to Jesus. And for this opportunity, all God's people can say together, Amen.